Hello, I'm Mary Melcher. I'm interviewing Alicia Otilia Quesada mm-hmm. in her home in Wickenburg. It's May 7th, 1998. Alicia, I'd like to start with your date of birth.
October the 8th, 1923.
And where were you? You were born right here in
Wickenburg, Arizona. Uh-huh. And I love to look at my birth certificate because in the place where it says address, you know, your parents' address, it says up the Hassayampa River in Yavapai County. At that time, my father was running cattle for my grandmother, and the ranch was up and around the Box Canyon area.
Really?
So I think it's really cute. You know, it doesn't have a specific street number.
Uh-huh. And he was running cattle for your grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And so your grandparents had had a ranch here?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. They established their... Well, my grandfather, Ocampo, came here about the 1860s, and...
That name is very familiar. He was one of the earlier settlers.
Yes, uh-huh, and he worked for about several years before he went back and brought back his parents and his sister and... two brothers from Mexico.
Part of Mexico? Sonora?
Caborca, Sonora, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so he was in this area since the 1860s.
And he is your grandfather or great-grandfather?
Grandfather.
Grandfather. Okay, and was he right in this county or was he further south?
Well, no, he spent some time in the area of La Paz and Ehrenberg, and when those places were very active, but most of his life here in Arizona was spent here in Wickenburg, and he had a ranch on the banks of the Hassayampa River, north of town, mm-hmm. and he had several acres there, and we found a document that said that he had had that place since about 1879, and we sold it in 1908, a few months before he died.
1908.
Mm-hmm.
But then he still ran cattle, or some.
Well,
of
my grandmother's had a son, a young son, and with the help of neighbors, I suppose, they continued with the cattle. Oh yes, and then in the 20s, in the mid 20s, the son Felix died, and so she had to have some family member to come and help her with her cattle, so my father left his job and came down, took over. And that was okay. In 1922-23, just before I was born.
Okay. Well, let's see. Ocampo, your grandfather had... How did we get into the name Quesada?
That's my father's name.
Your father's name, he married one of the Ocampo girls.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah. Francisca.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Francisca. How many children did your grandparents have?
Oh, they had about six. Can I enumerate them out? It was my mother, Francisca, Felix, Dionisia, Teodorito, Marcella, Eva, and she had one child that was that died at an early infancy, and they all the only ones that really survived to adulthood. Well, Feli survived to adulthood. He was about 27, 28 when he died, but the remaining three people that survived was my mother, my aunt Eva, and my aunt Marcella. And my uncle Felix died from tuberculosis. At that time, or previous to that time, a lot of people were coming into Arizona with tuberculosis, and these hills were filled with people, camping out, recovering from tuberculosis, and we figure that's where he got it. Because it's an airborne disease,
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
and
true.
So that was a big tragedy, and in our lives.
Had he been the one that was helping your grandmother?
Yeah, he was the one that was taking care of the cattle business.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Okay, so then your mother and father went and worked on the ranch.
Mm-hmm. They came back and they took over. And
uh-huh. And were you? Do you know if you were delivered by a midwife?
Oh no, I was a doctor.
A
medical doctor, huh?
You don't happen to know his name, do you?
Dr. Copeland.
Copeland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There was a doctor here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because a lot of women were still using midwives during that time.
Right, uh-huh. And I guess there was a lot of people that were born here that with the help of a midwife, but uh-huh. My mother had a doctor.
Okay, so you said you were born in 1923?
Mm-hmm.
In October of 1923. And where were you in the family order?
Third.
Third.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is Dora older?
Uh-huh.
She's older?
And Josephine is the oldest.
Oh, okay.
And then Dora and then I.
So three girls came along.
Yeah, and then two brothers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, same as my family. Okay. So did you grow up on a ranch? Ranch?
Well, it was that particular ranch where the cattle... They ran the cattle belonged to my great-grandfather, Valencia. And when the cattle industry went down the hill, you know, on the kind of the drought and kind of the prices and all that dissolved in the late 20s. And so my grandmother sold everything she could. And so after that, well, my father would lease... ranches along the Hassayampa River. So even though he didn't own these places, he would lease them, and he had a few head of cattle of his own, and he'd so that's where we grew up, on the banks of the Hassayampa River, huh?
Mm.
That was really really a very satisfying childhood, you know, looking back on it, you know. Even then, even we sit and talk about it, and we have no regrets. You know, a lot of people don't like where they live, or they wish they had lived someplace else. To us, it's we had a lot of freedom and a lot of a big playground.
Right.
We had a big playground.
Yeah. Did you also have chores?
Oh yes. Uh huh. We grew up knowing that we had certain duties to perform, and of course the biggest duty that we had was to attend school. When, you know, our time came to go to school, we had to go to school. There was no shirking. And my mother saved practically everything, I guess, that she ever got a hold of. So we have school records to prove that our attendance was was almost perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was our biggest duty growing up.
And what about around your house? Did you take care of chickens or...
Oh, yes. Well, we would help my mother with her chores. Oh,
uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She would, in those days, in our time, she'd do the laundry. That's what I remember the most. The laundry outside would build a bonfire and heat the water and use a scrub board and rinse by hand and mm-hmm. all that. Well, we would help, you know,
right.
to our ability, would help her there. And we'd help her. Well, she did have chickens, and she'd sell eggs, and you know all those duties, and
oh,
then
she did
and
sell
the house. Oh yes, uh-huh. She would sell eggs, and in the house we'd do the household chores, and washing dishes, and you know anything
right.
that we always had something to do. I mean, we could not just not do anything. And
did you ever work with the cattle at all?
Oh no. Mm-mm. Let's see, well, no, not at all. The cattle was all gone when we were...
Really?
Uh-huh. The most that we, that I was connected with any of that lifestyle was, we would, as we were growing up, you know, being teenagers, and, well, we, when living in the ranches, we were always around the few head of cattle that my father had and the horses and all that, but we didn't have anything to do with it. I think my brothers helped him occasionally, but later on, when we were older, mm-hmm. If we wanted to go on a picnic on horseback, Well, my father would always get us horses, uh-huh. And so we would have horseback ride picnics. You know, we mm-hmm. that was our way of getting there, right. And so even we none of us became horsewomen, but we did.
You did ride.
We did ride. Uh huh. Uh-huh. And
do you have any pictures of those picnics?
Oh yes. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we've established. We've donated family photographs to ASU, and right now I can't tell you if any of these picnic photographs are there, but I know that we have some. We're still working on the photographs and the manuscripts that you know that we need to donate to them.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's one type of photo we were kind of looking for was a picnic on the desert.
Oh, really?
Because it seems like a common way that people socialize.
Uh huh. Oh yes. Well, we have photographs here all on horseback and we have there's one photograph. This is I guess in the 30s where there were community picnics, uh-huh. And everyone is there. And what strikes us is that the men are all dressed in white. They had white trousers, a white shirt, and tie. Can you imagine anyone going to a picnic dressed like that these days?
How did they get to the picnic, too?
Well, those picnics that we would get, some of us would get to the picnics on horseback, uh-huh. And some of them had cars, you know, what uh-huh. Model A or Model T or, mm-hmm. or whatever.
But, I'd like to see that one.
But we would have, in those days, there's some people that did have cars. Uh-huh. But those are the picnics where we would get horses and go
right.
get there.
Yeah, neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see some of those. What was your school? Was it Wickenburg Elementary?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was there more than one school in the area?
No, there was only one school, Wickenburg Elementary, and that was eight grades, mm-hmm. And then high school, the four grades. And during the early part of my life, when we were living on a ranch in the Rincon area, mm-hmm. They tried to have one of these one-room schoolhouses, you know, everybody attend, mm-hmm. And that didn't work out very well. I really don't know how long I went there, mm-hmm. But it must have been less than a semester, because all my report cards for every year are issued from the Wickenburg Elementary School.
Uh-huh. And when you went to school, did you speak Spanish and English? Did you learn Spanish in your home?
Oh, yes. We were never allowed to speak anything but Spanish. And so we did speak Spanish at home. And when we went to school, we learned the English. And my oldest sister didn't. I don't know if her English was limited. But anyway, when she started school, and then she was speaking more English, so you know, little kids pick up more. So we were more versed in English than we would have been if she hadn't gone to school, even though she knew some English before she went to school.
She knew some from mm-hmm. from friends.
Well, we had this great grandfather who was. He was well versed in three languages, and he was, you know, he was determined that we were all going to learn as much as we could, no matter what. And then we had an older aunt that was about. She was in school at that time when my sister was going to start school. So,
mm-hmm. What was his grandfather's name?
Ramon Severo Valencia. Yeah.
And he knew Spanish, English,
and French. That was a story, you know. His is a remarkable story, especially when you think of the time that he lived and what he did. But he was well educated. I can't remember hearing him speak in Spanish, because he was always speaking in English. And in fact, he was raised by English-speaking people. A family, George Hooper, and he was raised in San Francisco, and these people had means, so he traveled a lot throughout the United States. So English with them was his first language, but when he came back to Arizona in the 1870s, then he, you know, picked up the Spanish again.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now, what were your parents' names?
My father's name was Jose Franco Quesada. And my mother is Francisca Ocampo Quesada.
Okay, and their attitude was that Spanish was the important language for you all to speak. They
wanted to retain
that.
And my father would subscribe to books and magazines and newspapers, and he would read by candlelight or lamp or whatever it is that we had at, you know, those different times. And we would all sit around and listen to him. He'd read out loud. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way we learned Spanish. And, you know, but gradually, after most of us were in school, well, outside of his presence, we would speak English, but in his presence, we had to speak Spanish.
It was very important to him to not become like Anglos. Is that his attitude?
We had to retain our heritage, you know, our culture.
And he was afraid you'd lose it if you started to speak English and you...
Well, I suppose, you know, that's what was the idea. You lose it if you don't use the language. And throughout the years, my Spanish has become very poor because I don't use it as much as I should to keep it up.
Right.
And just like anything else, you know, any language.
Well, when you went to school, were you put in a classroom with Mexican-American children only, or were you mixed into the other classes?
I wasn't. As far as I remember, it was, you know, we're all one big class. But I think they did that to my oldest sister, and, you know, she could tell you about that.
I know that was common. And so did it take you a little while to learn English, to participate in school?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
We all had excellent report grades. Yeah. We're all top achievers. I mean, you know, you look, and that's another thing we have in our documents. My mother saved that. We have all of our report cards, and, you know, it shows the grades. And so we sit and look at them, and we decide who's the smartest and who's the...
Where's Dora?
Like when I graduated from high school, I was a salutatorian, and I know my sister Josephine was the valedictorian in her class, and I don't remember the others.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So going to school was really stressed and studying, and did your parents eventually learn English from the
My mother spoke excellent English from early childhood on account of this great-grandfather.
But she hadn't taught you English before school?
Oh, they didn't make an effort to do that, no. Mm-mm. My father spoke English, but it was more broken English than my mother.
Right. Okay, did you go to a church in town?
A Catholic church, mm-hmm. We grew up, and at that time, it wasn't a regular established church. It's what they call a mission, and so the priests would come, you know, whenever they would come. And I don't suppose they really had a permanent priest here until the 40s.
Uh-huh.
But
so it was a very small community?
Mm-hmm. It was a very small community, very small.
And there were that many. How many kids would be in the school?
Well, when I started first grade, there were about 30 kids. And then when I graduated from high school, there was a class of 22. And it varied. And I think when Dora graduated from high school, the classes were smaller. But maybe 100, 150.
In high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember any goals you had when you were a young woman? Anything that you wanted to do?
Well, I knew that I would have to learn some skills to earn a living. And so in high school, I concentrated a lot on shorthand and typing. And, you know, besides my other, because I figured that with shorthand and typing, I could eventually get a job in some office, and which is what I did.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you were graduating in about...
1941.
Right when the war was starting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All the young men were going...
Everybody, it was...
Into the draft.
Yeah. Everything. Everybody left.
Yeah. Did you consider going to college?
Oh, yes. I considered going to college, and financially I couldn't afford it. My folks couldn't afford it. And so the next best thing that I did was I went to Lamson's Business College. And going there, I started attending that college. And in the middle of the course, the legislature was in session, the state legislature was in session, so a friend of a friend of mine said that someone was looking for a stenographer, a Mexican-American girl, and they wanted to hire her for, you know, to work there with them at the legislature. And so they asked me if I wouldn't go and apply for it. Well, to make a long story short, I got the job. And so I worked with the House of Representatives for that one session. And I used my skills that I had learned in high school, shorthand and typing. And that was quite an experience because I was so young. And they were asking me to do all these things with my work, with my skills. I didn't think anything of it. Like, for instance, I remember that they would have sessions where the general public would come and voice their opinions, and on the open floor, and everything had to be recorded. And in those days, they didn't have stenotype machines or any kind of machines that they have now to record everything you say. It all had to be done in shorthand. So they would send me and another young girl that knew shorthand, and we'd go out there and we took down everything everybody said. I'd like to see those documents, you know. And
on the whole session?
Well, all these particular sessions where they had, you know, open sessions, that's what I remember. But I remember being sent out there on the floor to record everything that was being done. And so that was quite exciting. And then
so you'd have to identify them.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
have to know who they were.
Yes,
and get their names if
yeah,
you didn't know it.
Yeah, everything was recorded. And then I worked with them, and then later on I worked as, they call them attachés, with the Senate side of the legislature. So it was a very interesting job, and then it paid real well, $5 a day. Can you imagine?
Which wasn't bad pay.
No,
right?
I mean that was
pretty
top
good pay.
Wages.
Yeah.
And from there, I was I met Simpson Cox, who was an attorney, and he was looking for a legal stenographer, and so he knew about my work, and so he hired me to go and work in his law office. And he was eventually his father-in-law and sister-in-law joined Mr. Cox in his firm, and they formed a new firm, Cox Lockwood and Lockwood, and that was Alfred C. Lockwood, who was a former Supreme Court justice for many years, and his daughter Lorna Lockwood. So I worked with that group of attorneys for, well, 2 or 3 years, and which was great. I mean, it was establishment of a relationship that, you know, to this day it's ongoing, even though they're deceased. we still keep in touch with the Cox children. Mm-hmm. And that was also the relationship that was established there. Also, years later, enabled us to talk, well, Dora, to contact Mr. Cox when she had this fight with the Gosnell and the South Mountain, to save the South Mountain park.
Reserve area,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what I have learned is that you have to maintain good relationships with people throughout your life, and not because you're going to use them or anything, but things fall into place where things come up when you can help each other, mm-hmm. or they want to help you, mm-hmm. or they have the skills that you're lacking to help you, or you have the same goals, mm-hmm. so you join forces. And so that's one thing I've learned.
Maintain those connections.
Keep good relationships going.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let me go back a little bit. When you lived in Wickenburg, what was your family involved in, community activities other than the church, or was that the main focus?
My folks' main focus was the church and school for us. Uh-huh. And as far as their community activities, I don't know. My father, they were always working, you know, as far as civic organizations are concerned, things like that. The only one thing that I remember that he became very interested in and participated in was a Latin American club that was established by a man named Luis Cordova, and he was from Phoenix, and this is in the 30s. Are you familiar with that organization?
What's the
Latin American club?
I haven't heard that name, but there's there's Alianza Hispana.
No, it was another one.
It was Latin American.
Latin American club was a strictly a political club.
Oh.
And as far as I know, the object was to get Mexican American people employed through the, you know, we elect you, you give us a job. And it worked for a long while. And anyway, this Cordova Mr. Cordova would go throughout the state of Arizona and organizing little chapters, and so he came to Wickenburg, and my father was very active with that, to the extent that he got my sisters to be members. They were little kids, but he thought, you know, he knew that politics was something that you had to learn early in life to get along in this life. And so that's one organization that I know that he was very active in. Mm-hmm. This Luis Cordova, his son was Val Cordova, the Superior Court judge. I don't know if you
heard of
him. He's deceased now, but and then he had he left his family. He let, you know, there's family members in Phoenix, and the other one was Alex Cordova, another son, and he used to be a city treasurer or the county treasurer, mm-hmm. for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they
anyway,
had prominent positions.
Yes, yeah, so how they you know, Mr. Cordova did a lot of good for a lot of the Mexican American people.
That's great. So that was one thing your father was involved with. How about your mother? Was she pretty busy at home?
Oh yeah, she was busy at home, and other than you know, neighborhood stuff.
Like spending time with their neighbors.
Yeah, and church. I think she was too busy at home.
Right. No, yeah, because housework was very hard then.
Oh, yes, I just can't imagine, you know, her surviving everything that she did.
Mm-hmm. And did she raise a lot of the food? Did she have a big garden?
She would have gardens, but and chickens. She always had chickens, even when we lived in Phoenix. She had chickens, and but you know, and she did a lot of crocheting.
Mm-hmm.
She did. Oh, she left us tons of her work. It's just beautiful crocheting.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so you moved to Phoenix and you stayed there for a long time?
I moved to Phoenix about maybe 42, 43, something like that, mm-hmm. to go to school, and I stayed there and worked. And it was back and forth, you know, I'd come and visit. But